The man of Thomas, this is a very, very acute psychological observation. The firmness of the man of Thomas is the firmness with which he holds firmly to grief, pain, despair, and laziness. Now, at first we think, what? Holds firmly to pain and grief. And then we come to see that it's true. People hold to their pain and suffering. The neurotic, as Freud says, holds to the neurosis. No one can help me. It always goes wrong. It's no good. No good. I've tried before. Well, he's holding firmly to that. The man of Rajas comes up and says, I'm going to help you if it kills both of us. And the man of Tamas says, no one can help me. The man of Sattva sees both clearly. And he's able to help in the way in which it will be effective. Well, these are the three gunas. Now, Patanjali makes a great deal of the transformation of our actions from tamas and rajas to actions of sattva, when they begin to become transparent, because they're no longer tied up with building a personality, building a prestige in the world, building a nice little comfortable circle. They're not tied up with those. They begin to become transparent. And when they become transparent, then what is beyond the Purusha, the divine element, begins to shine through. Now this is the first point. Purification, it's called by Shankara, the purification of the being, of man. The rajas and tamas become subservient and of minor significance. He still sleeps and he's still active, but they can be controlled. There are people, in everything they do, they are ceaselessly active. He's always looking for something. If he's a boxer, he's constantly on the attack, constantly waiting for the chance. And the funny thing is, the man who does that in boxing or judo, always on the attack. His chest is just the same. From the very beginning, he's on the attack. Then you get the other man, Thomas. Now he waits, defends, in boxing or judo or chess. The other chap wears himself out. Defense. Then when the man of Rajas is exhausted, the man of Tamas comes in with a counter. And it runs right through their whole life. When they go to a meeting, a committee meeting, parents, teachers, association, the man of Rajas, he's making speeches from the very beginning, he wants to force it through. And the people of Tamas, they think, oh, no, he's getting all excited about these things, you know. No, he's trying new things that maybe they won't work. At least what we've got, it works a bit. Why get all bothered about it? There's a man in Japan who tells old people, he says, don't fret about being called an obstinate and angry old man or a venomous old woman. That's the role. A nagging old woman, that's an obstinate and angry old man, that's the role. They don't bother about it if they call you that. Why not be just like an old cat? It has its milk. It doesn't get excited about anything. It's not worried about mice or anything. It just sits in the sun. He's telling them to go back into a state of tamas. But in the yoga, it says to transcend both these two, the tendency to inertia, the tendency to furious activity, and to be able to alternate them. And an expert in any field is able to do both. At a meeting, an important meeting, the real expert, sometimes he'll wait for an hour and a half. All the proposals and counter-proposals and rows and hobby horses are passed over. Then he makes his speech with tremendous energy. And everybody's so exhausted, they say, yes, 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 ask this. This is what we want. Now he can do alternate, Thomas and Rogers. He can remain still, motionless, or he can move. Now he's a man who can manipulate both. So Patanjali makes a great point about having the ability to look at our behavior, to be able to modify, not to say I'm like this, I'm like that, but to be able to change, to realize that it can be changed. And when we begin to realize that these things are changeable and soft, then we can alter the roots of the mind. But if we have a fixed conviction, this is me, I'm like this, we're like that in our family. Well now, passing on now, this is the basis which Patanjali says, unless this is done, meditation will not be possible. Unless the surface activity and the roots of the mind are partially at least purified, partially made sattvic, and with this tamasic and rajasic convictions thinned out, meditation will not be possible. Shankara lived 700 AD, and he was not a great lover of the cities. At that time, India was the richest country in the world. In the Roman Empire, it was estimated that every year 1 million gold pieces went out of the Roman Empire to India for the finest lace and the wooden artifacts and the ivory. And even today, on the west coast of India, they sometimes find hoards of golden coins which were buried. India was enormously rich, enormously sophisticated. Some of the dramas of the time tell us just how, well, partially refined, but also partly degraded the cities were. So Shankara tended to believe in the life of scholars living in the country, outside the cities. And the examples he gives are often from the country. He'll give examples from farming, examples from milk churning, things like that. Now, these are examples which we most of us are not too familiar with this today. Very few of us have ever churned any butter, and we might have considerable difficulty in getting any butter out of some milk. But in his day, it was very familiar. So his examples were given like that.